Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Just great. Summer's almost over.
Is it though?
Labor Day's coming. Well, not down here.
South Carolina recorded its third hottest July ever. And August is pretty much right behind it, so yay.
Yeah.
Can only imagine what it's like down there.
It's disgusting. It really is.
Yeah.
It's like you walk out of the building and it's like, you know, opening the oven.
Yeah, I remember those. I remember like walking out the door in the morning to go to work and it'd be like 90 degrees at like 8 a.m. or whatever and just being like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah. It's also 90 degrees at 12 a.m.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. That's right. Christmas will be here before you know it.
I know. We're only, 4 months away?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Halloween time, man.
It is. It's frightening that it's August, and I mean, not only is Halloween in full swing, but Christmas has been brewing for the past few weeks too. It's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've already been the spirit Halloween twice.
Nice.
Yeah. They have a full size animatronic Xenomorph from Alien. That's like $400. And I was like, that would look perfect in my living room. But I didn't buy it. And then yesterday we stopped at Hobby Lobby and they have both Halloween and Christmas out.
Yeah.
And the Christmas stuff is already on clearance. So I, whatever.
Well, that's their scam.
Yeah.
You know, there's like the normal prices is like 40% more. And then they make you think that it's costing less, but it's all bought from China. So, well, you know, that Christmas ornament cost you 30 cents.
Have you ever seen the videos of like if you dig to the back of the pile at Hobby Lobby, they're priced cheaper?
No.
Yeah. So I don't remember where I saw it, but it was one of those things of like it was like a sign or something and it was like $12.99 and like the front one was like chipped or something. So they were like, well, let me get the one from the back. And they pulled the one out of the back and it was like $10.99. And they were like, wait, what? And they did that with a couple of other things and it was the same way. So don't ever take the one in the front. Dig a little, see if it's the same. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't go to Hobby Lobby often.
Yeah, neither do I. That's so fucking slow. You know, they got a hand type and everything, and the lines are always fucking long.
Right.
It's just like, oh, God. All right. Unfortunately, around here, they're the only places that really sell, like, airbrush paint.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm kind of...
You don't have a Michaels?
We do, but I've never seen airbrush paint in them.
Oh.
I mean, I know if I thin anything down enough, I can airbrush with it, but like formulated airbrush paint, I've never seen, at least in ours. Huh. I know they sell filament now, though, for 3D printing.
Yeah.
And so does our Target does now, too.
Really?
Yeah, our Target.
No, I think I've seen it at Target now.
Yeah, our Target sells Bamboo Lab filament and bam, like you can get an A1 mini Bamboo Lab printer right from fucking Target now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, you know, eventually they'll make them illegal, so that's all just going to go away anyway.
Well, we'll see. Midterms are coming.
Yeah. So, last week we talked about a movie that you had seen and I went and I watched it and I wanted to talk about The Last House.
Yeah.
Cause I've got thoughts.
Okay.
I think it was a interesting concept, but very poorly executed.
Yeah.
And I really liked the dude that plays the dad, Wagner, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Really good actor. Been watching him since he was on Narcos as Pablo Escobar. You know, the mother is from Tron Ares, and like, she's okay. And we're going to spoil some shit here, folks. So if you want to see it, then skip ahead. But, so the idea is it rains and it locks these people in their houses, and we're assuming all over the world. Even though it's not directly said in the film, I got to imagine that this is happening everywhere. And it right. turns out that it's these half or part crab, half part lobster sea creatures are making this all happen. And, if I can get past the idea that, these people have survived for 5 years by, feeding on squirrels and foxes that they catch in their backyard, and mm-hmm. they can grow crops inside their house with no sunlight, which is a whole nother issue. They are able to fix a car with 5-year-old gasoline, which why wouldn't you use the gas for cooking?
Right.
You know, but what really got to me is there. So the daughter gets bit by an animal from outside and instantly has a reaction that they now have to find right. antibiotics for. And in going to the neighbor's house to find 5-year-old antibiotics, which somehow work almost immediately on this kid, they get mm-hmm. found out by one of the creatures. The creature chases them, fills the house with water. And then right when you think they're going to kill this creature, they show it empathy, and the creature decides that they're okay to live.
Right.
But while they're in the house filled with water, you have shown that these creatures control water enough to make the water solid and like lock the house. So why wouldn't you just either use the water to crush them or just leave them in there to drown? Like, it feels like the same logic problem that like the movie Signs had of, you know, you mm-hmm. have these aliens that show up and they go to a planet with a substance on it that kills them. But like these things control the water. So if they knew that people were in all these houses, why wouldn't they just flood the houses and kill them?
Right.
And then the part that really like, made me scratch my head was the ending happens and the creature's in a position where they can kill it and they don't, and they show it empathy, and the creature like is like, okay, you guys can go. Apparently that was enough, even though we're never told why they're doing this.
Right.
You know, I would have to assume that it's got something to do with people destroying the oceans and the planet, and this was them getting their revenge, but they never go into that. And at the end, there's a voiceover that starts out with something like, everybody knew, or everybody remembers where they were the day that they disappeared. And I was like, so they just go away? They've destroyed the world to get rid of people and they just go away. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
All they needed to do was have the voiceover say, even though we couldn't communicate with them, eventually we found a way and found out that because we were destroying the oceans, they wanted to take revenge, but we taught them empathy. And now they're helping us find survivors. Like, let them live in harmony with the people that survived or whatever. But like, oh, we just never saw them again. Okay. Right. Like cool concept. Like truly, like it would be scary to not be able to get out of your house at all. You're running out of food. You're running out of water. You don't know how long the power is going to be on. And you see these horrible things out your window. And like, yeah, that's a scary concept for a movie until they let the movie play out. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know. It feels like a missed opportunity for a lot of decent storytelling.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt like once you saw the creatures, yeah, it just went downhill. It was like, that was the big reveal and you don't know how to make it pay off.
You didn't like the design of the creatures?
It looks like Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, kind of. You don't think that works, though?
Yeah. Seen it before. So, yeah, this was the movie that they were promoting out in L.A. on a billboard that actually had, like, an apartment in it.
Yeah, okay. I did see that. I mean, and there's some really interesting concepts in it. Like the, you know, at first the girl, the daughter is having a hard time with being stuck in the house. And then the 5 years pass and it seems like her and the brother have reversed and the brother wants to get out. And I'm sure like the look into like the psychological effects of like not being able to leave this, you know, 2000 square foot home with only two movies to watch. Like that seems like an interesting concept to look into, but like, I don't know. I just feel like it just gets destroyed when they have to come up with an ending.
Right.
So the guy that directed The Last House also directed The Incredible Hulk, which was okay.
Which one?
The Edward Norton one.
Okay.
So the better of the two. He also did Fast X, which is the last Fast and Furious movie that came out, which, you know, is just ridiculous. And okay. The magician movie Now You See Me, which was okay.
Oh, all right.
He also did 10 episodes of The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. He did Clash of the Titans with...
The reboot?
Yeah, with Sam Worthington.
Okay.
I mean, so he's not a terrible director.
Right.
I just don't know what happened to this. Cause I feel like it should have been like, you know, 15-minute movie. They get caught. The creatures go around, look in the windows. Oh, look, there's people there. All right. Flood the house and kill them.
Right.
End of movie.
And scene.
Yeah. And I don't know if this was one of those cases where, you know, this was in production and they looked at it and they were like, maybe we should sell this to Netflix and not worry about fucking box office.
Making it good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Are you going to see the other house movie with the dinosaurs?
I would like to, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like batshit crazy too. What did you watch this week?
So I watched a couple of new things.
Yeah.
That weren't as good as they should have been.
Okay.
So there was a show on, I don't remember which thing it was on, though, called Hello Tomorrow with Billy Crudup.
Okay.
And Hank Azaria. And it takes place in the 1950s as if the fantasy of Tomorrowland actually came true. So there's like driverless cars and which was like the really cool part of this, you know, robots doing deliveries and cooking and anything. And it's basically about a con man who is selling timeshares on the moon.
Okay.
And it says it's a comedy drama, but it was much more drama. And it was, he would take them, they would do, you know, the typical timeshare hosting events and trying to get people to sign up right on the spot. And
yeah.
They have a celebrity spokesperson who used to be an old Western star.
Okay.
And it just kind of falls apart. It should get really interesting when like the con is revealed, and you know they've got all these people who paid money for their places on the moon, and they're, you know, getting ready to launch them, and they do a fake, they build a rocket ship and get them on board, and then they keep coming up with different excuses as to why they can't go, and it's like, oh, you guys weren't fitted for your safety vests. All right, we're all going to have to get off.
I think I saw episode of this.
You might have.
And I don't think I ever followed
it. It looks really good in that, you know, kind of 1950s atomic age. This is what the future brings.
Yeah.
But story-wise, it just kind of fell apart. And then there was another series I saw called Sprung.
Okay.
And I watched it because it was by Greg Garcia, who did Raising Hope and My Name is Earl.
Yeah.
In fact, the stars are Martha Plimpton and Dillahunt, who were the parents in Raising Hope.
Yeah, okay.
And I mean, there's stuff about it that's okay, but it's not as funny as the other two series were.
Okay.
This one the premise is that because of COVID, they're going to release a bunch of nonviolent prisoners from their sentences and put them back out in the world. And, you know, one of them, Dillahunt's character has been in jail for 26 years. There's a girl he's been, quote unquote, dating through the toilet in a different cell block, and they get released. And there's funny stuff, but it's not funny enough.
Okay.
Knowing what Greg Garcia was capable of on his other series, it's like, it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
They end up joining together to take down this corrupt senator who's going to invest in whichever company she finds out is making the COVID vaccine first. So there's this whole plot about how to get a hold of, you know, how to get her money and stuff. And yeah, I wish it was better.
Okay.
I wish it was better. Other than that, the usual stuff.
Yeah.
Silo gave us some answers.
Yeah, it did. It's finally firing on some, you know. It's been a slow burn, though. It's been a very slow burn.
It really has.
Yep. Which, you know, to only have a season left feels like they're wasting time, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we've got what, two episodes left?
Yeah.
Before the end of the season.
Yeah. And it's finally like the B plot of like the past is finally like paying off.
Right.
And you know, there needs like, you know, they're at that dinner and they're having the discussion about the diggers and stuff. If you want 50 silos, you got to get 50 diggers. And we've already seen that like the diggers are still down in the silos. So either shit got crazy and they just had to leave them down there, or they build 50 diggers and like, you know, I guess that's where that story is going to go of like what they do. But like the two people wind up flying away in a helicopter together. So.
Right.
I don't know if that's the end of their story or we're going to get more flashbacks. I don't know.
No, I can't imagine that they'd let them go.
Yeah. You would think that they would have, with that information, they'd be like, yeah, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
But I mean, the dude's a sitting congressman, so I don't know if they could just let him disappear. Well, I mean,
right.
Apparently you could be a senator and disappear for a while and nobody know where you are, and that's fine. But, you know, when they were writing this show, that wasn't an option, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, so how exactly close are we to
the end of the world?
Whatever the nanobot attack is that forces everybody underground.
Yeah.
You know, are there still years to go before they actually go into the ground or?
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously quite a while passes once they're in the silos. So.
Yeah, it's like 300 years or whatever. At least that's what the algorithm says, but.
Right.
How do we know that the algorithm's not lying? You know, if they have the drugs to erase your memory and, you know, put you on like just fill your head with like, oh, well, this is the way it always was.
Right.
Maybe they're the first or second generation. I don't know. I never read the book, so I'm not sure. I'm sure it's all in there, though.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah, we'll have to see how this pans out and
where
we go. I mean, we haven't seen that Lucas and Kennedy made it back to the silo with the kids yet.
No, they're still, I guess they're going to go exploring somewhat because they found, what's his name's mother?
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think there's still business to be done in that other silo before they come back. But like, I pretty much figured that we didn't see them die in the last episode. So they weren't dead, which is like, it's a weird thing that the algorithm was like, yeah, they're dead. And then in this episode, the algorithm's like, well, their bodies are gone.
Like right.
Our drones went back and looked and they're not there. It's like, well, how did you make that mistake? Unless who's ever talking is actually alive in like silo one.
And they're, right.
They're trying to control what's going on in this silo. I don't know. I guess we'll find out in a couple weeks.
I would love it if the final episode of our post-Armageddon TV shows together with one plot.
Yeah.
You know, Pluribus and Fallout and all that stuff. Very bizarre.
Yeah. So did you watch this week's Star Trek Strange New World?
What the hell did I watch?
I mean, are you saying that as you didn't like it, or like what are your feelings about the?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, okay, so the puppet idea was, you know, cool. Everybody knew it was happening. It was going to happen. We'd see it sometime this season. But it was, I don't know. You know, I mean, I thought that towards the end was really weird when they're all floating around in space because, you know, puppets can't die in space because they're not human. I mean, there was funny stuff when, you know, they're like throwing puppets at each other.
I mean, I liked it. I thought, you know, I'm all for a weird episode of TV, and Star Trek Strange New Worlds does weird episodes of science fiction every week.
Right.
You know, so I wasn't sure what was going on at first. You know, spoilers, it's all a dream, which is fine. Like trying to explain why they're all puppets, this was probably the best outcome for that. You know, as opposed to being like, well, they actually like somehow being caught in the transporter buffer with the other puppet made them all puppets, like whatever. Okay. It's a fever dream that fucking Spock's having. That's fine. Like, and once you see it and you know that, like, he's dealing with anxiety of being split between his human side and his Vulcan side, and you see,
right.
You see like everybody wanting his attention, and he's being pulled to engineering, and then he's being pulled to the bridge, and like I loved all the puppet stuff as far as that was concerned, of like Spock having to run the ship. I liked the conceit of like none of the controls recognized the puppet fingers, so they couldn't control anything. Like, I thought that was funny. I thought my favorite scene is when they decide they're all in the ready room or whatever, and they decide that they've got to go help retake the ship, and they come out and it's three puppets on top of each other in a robe. I thought that was fucking hysterical.
That was hilarious.
Like all those little nuances of like, there's a scene when the Orions discover that they're puppets and they start firing at the ship, and the ship lists to one side and it cuts to the bar in the ship, and there's just a puppet sliding down the bar screaming. And like, there's all little reaction shots like that. And like, I was like, this is funny. This is like, if you're going to do a puppet / Muppet themed version of Star Trek, this is how you do it. And I know there were a lot of people online that didn't like this episode. A lot of people were like, can we just get a full science fiction episode of Star Trek again? But I feel like there were all of these ideas that were thrown out, like in the writer's room, of let's do a Casablanca episode. Let's do, you know, let's do a Hangover episode, and let's do a puppet episode, where when they got the call that like, well, there's only going to be six episodes to the final season, they kind of were like, okay, we're just going to have to get all these out of the way. I feel like the last six episodes are going to be fairly straightforward Star Trek, I would assume.
Right.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was one of the better episodes this season for sure. I love the Scotty being stuck under the torpedo, and then he says to Spock, well, just use me for leverage, and he turns around and he's behind him. You know, very, very much a Rizzo the Rat and Christmas Carol. You know, you could fit through there this entire time. you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It just seemed, it was like every puppet trope and I was on board for it.
Yeah.
You know, and them all being outside at the end was a little weird, but like the whole idea of like, well, we don't need to breathe, so that's how we're going to solve the problem.
Right.
And then, you know, it all turns out that it's Spock's imagination or whatever, but
yeah.
All right. So
and now coming soon, there'll be a whole new line of plush Star Trek figures.
Oh God, I hope so. I would buy all of those. And I loved Pelia's puppet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and it was so funny when like they were first being introduced and they're going along the table and then it's just her hair. And then the camera pans down because she's just a little tiny puppet. Yeah, I thought that was, there's a lot of funny stuff in that episode. So did you watch the new Lanterns TV show?
Did. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
You know, it's not your typical superhero story in that, you know, they kind of, except the fact that, you know, in that universe, it's like people know about them and the aliens and, yeah, I really liked it. I really like how they're kind of setting up, you know, kind of a Yellowstone Dallas confrontation with, the sheriff's father and stuff.
Yeah.
Who's on the ranch. I like the two lanterns and what their relationship was to each other. And
yeah, it's,
I mean, so far it's really good.
Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic, because you have Hal that's been, a lantern for 10 years. You've got, yep, John Stewart, who has been picked by the head of the Lantern Corps to be trained as a lantern, even though Hal's not going anywhere.
Right.
And we also know that in the future that Guy Gardner has the ring. So, mm-hmm, you know, there's this weird mixture of all these storylines. And there's something about 10 years, because we see the first thing in 1986 and then the next time is it 96? It's 96. He's been a lantern since 86 or something. And then the next time you see them is 2006. And then the coda at the end is 2026. So there's something about, uh-huh, 10 years with this show. But like, just the way that Hal comes off, the way that he plays him, of like, he's still kind of in his prime. He's got all this information. He knows what he's doing. He's being sent off to other planets for peace deals that apparently are successful, but for some reason they want this backup on Earth. You know, and John Stewart is willing and he wants to do it, but he's got to get past this guy that doesn't want to give him his job. And it's their chemistry is really good. I thought the chemistry between them and the sheriff was really good. There is, so spoilers, if you haven't seen it, the coda at the end is 2026. John shows back up in the small town, the ranch that they go to visit the father-in-law at is like destroyed. He goes to meet the sheriff and there's a body in the same position that looks like Hal Jordan,
right,
with a bullet in his head. and no ring. And I've seen a lot of speculation online that people think that's not Hal Jordan.
Okay.
That it's one of the Manhunters. And he wasn't looking for the ring per se, because at this point in time, Guy Gardner is in Metropolis with the ring. That,
okay,
there's a real quick shot when they're in the car and he takes the ring off and he puts it on the dashboard, that there is a green mark on his hand. Like the power from the ring has discolored his finger.
Okay.
And that's what he's looking for. And he knows as soon as you put that together and he looks at the body, he's not looking at it like his friend is dead. He's looking at it like, who the fuck is this? So I think that's the mystery. I think Hal is still alive. I think he has given up the ring and has been chased or whatever by the Manhunters. And he's in hiding. And the reason he put the body there was because he knew that the sheriff would call John Stewart.
Okay.
So there's a lot going on, but it's so well done.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, you know, the showrunner was basically like, yeah, they didn't tell us we had to like conform to anything. They just wanted a good show. And like, we wanted to do the Green Lantern version of True Detective.
Right.
You know, and that's what it seems like. It seems like a very straightforward, like, we've got murder and this is like Hal knows what's going on, but he doesn't know how much he can trust John Stewart yet.
Sure.
So, he's too busy trying to kill him with the car. So yeah, I really dig it. I'm already a big fan of this show.
Yeah.
So yeah. Hopefully they'll make more shows like this. I don't know how much faith I have in the Jimmy Olsen show, though.
Or Gorilla Grodd?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a docuseries about Gorilla Grodd being in prison or something and how he got there. Like, it doesn't sound great. So, I don't know. Have you watched anything else?
Stewart fails to save the universe.
What was the last episode?
They find a tribe.
The last one that I saw was Stewart in a mental institution.
Okay. This one wasn't as strong as the rest of them.
Okay.
They find this tribe and they share everything, you know, their food, their clothing, their women. And then slowly, Kripke introduces them into, the concept of ownership.
Yeah.
And then their society kind of falls apart.
Okay.
But yeah, this one was not my favorite one.
Okay. When did those air? Do you know?
I don't know. I find them like midweek.
Okay. Because for some reason I thought they were like on the, like, you know, they aired like on Sunday nights or something, but I don't know if that's true. Stewart fails to save the universe.
Thursdays.
Thursdays. Okay. I guess that's what I get for watching them in the beginning of the week.
There you go.
I do like the opening credits to the show, though. The fact that they change every week.
Right.
That's fun, I guess.
And they get renewed for another season, so.
I saw that. So the first question on Google is Stuart Fails to Save the Universe a real show? And the AI says, yes, it's a real show. It's a sci-fi comedy spinoff. It's funny.
Did you see we're finally getting a National Treasure 3?
I saw that. I guess Nick Cage doesn't have too much to do besides, you know, Spider-Man now, huh?
Right.
They must have backed up a giant money truck to that dude's house.
Yeah. Well, and they're also saying that the Catherine Zeta-Jones series is canon. So somehow that might be involved.
I mean, he refused to be in that, so I don't.
I know.
You know. So
then well, yeah, like, but he doesn't own the franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll bring Catherine Zeta-Jones back as, like, you know, his nemesis.
Guess. I mean, I liked the first one. I'm not super crazy about the second one.
Yeah, I mean, I like them both. I mean, they're both in that Indiana Jones, Tomb Raider genre.
Yeah.
You know, don't take them too seriously because the history is not totally accurate.
Yeah, I mean, they say that there's a big city of gold underneath fucking Mount Rushmore, so.
Right.
You know. As long as they don't bring back, who played the father? That asshole.
John Voight.
As long as they don't bring him back. Although I'm sure they might.
What about Helen Mirren?
Helen Mirren can come back.
Okay.
That's fine. But, you know, he can keep his distance. Fuck that guy. Did we have any celebrity deaths this week that I missed?
No one of note.
Okay. Well, I mean, you have anything else then?
Have you been seeing all of these stories about people preaching in I don't want to say unusual spots, but there are these young people who feel that they are Christian, who feel that they need to share the word of God, like on an airplane when you've got a captive audience.
Oh, I see.
And
yeah.
And you know, there's one with this guy who like broke out his guitar. And it's like, why did you not call the air marshal and just say, okay, stick them down in baggage?
I think it's,
you know, and now they're doing it in like theme parks, like SeaWorld and Disney. There are these people who are arranging like prayer groups inside the parks.
that's not what it's fucking for, man. Like I'm sure that if I walked past that and they said something, I'd be like, fuck off. And,
right.
You know, they'd be like, oh, he's encroaching on our religious freedom. And it's like, no, I'm not. I just don't want to be fucking bothered by it.
Yeah, see, my freedom means that I don't have to listen to your shit.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm on a plane,
you know,
I'm fucking throwing peanuts right. at him. Sorry. Like, that's fucking crazy. Because if it was the other way around, if it was an atheist that stood up on a plane and was like, here's all the reasons why you shouldn't believe in God, you would hear all kinds of shit about it.
Right.
And that person would have been arrested and all this other shit. And it's like, well, you know, the whole thing of religious freedom is like, I should be able to do that. If you're going to spout your shit, I should be able to spout mine.
Right.
But you know, that's not the fucking world we live in anymore.
Well, I mean, people are like so self-entitled that they think they're just, you know, wonderful. And, you know, and it's not about Jesus and it's not about your religion. It's about you're an obnoxious asshole who wants attention for your, you know, your Twitter, your X, your, you know, your TikTok.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, somebody should really just start like beating the shit out of these people.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I feel like they're just going to get more traction if, you know, if we can't just ignore them and we have to fight with them, then, you know, then right. it becomes,
and that's what they want is the attention.
Yep. Persecution and shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. You got anything else?
Yeah. No.
No. All right.
Well, no.
I guess that's it for that this week then. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info. Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't talk. info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
I am no longer a Starfleet captain. I'm a puppet captain.